be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. God is good. How many know that God is a good God? God is doing so many great and wonderful things, and I would be remiss in the saying that God has not been good to me. He has been. Because he's been greater than life itself. And all the things that bring in our lives, the tests, the trials, the circumstances, everything that comes to us in life, God is still great. Somebody say, God is still great. He is still great. And I really give him all praise and give him all glory, because if it wasn't for him, I would not even be here today. And I know that, and every one of us have our own personal testimonies. But many of us would not even be here if it wasn't for the grace of God. And then God is good. So how many know that God is a good God? Time is winding up, and I know that even when I was coming up in the church, we used to talk about the coming of the Lord is near. And I believe that he is coming. And I believe that he's getting a people be prepared, amen, even in this last day move that has already begun all over the nations across this world, in India and China and even some of the Islam nations. The gospel has been preached. Jesus is saving, delivering, and setting people free. Amen. And those of us that know the word of God and know that God is with us, it's really time to be about our Father's business. It's not time to get into the foolishness of church, but we need to get into the seriousness of declaring the truth and manifesting that truth with signs and wonders. If you're not a man or a woman that seek after the signs and wonders of the kingdom of God, you're missing out on great opportunity to show the kingdom and to show the manifestation of the kingdom of God. And I would encourage you, and not only encourage you, I would ask that you would seek the face of God, that you could flow into signs and wonders and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, because this world needs you. God needs you to step up and not to be overtaken by the things and the cares of this life, but to actually become the kingdom and the display of God's glory in the earth. It is necessary for you and I to literally conduct ourselves in kingdom business. And if we don't learn anything else in this life, we ought to know that Jesus is Lord and that he is King, and that without him, we would be nothing. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Amen. God is good. Amen. So let's get right into the word, because I'm going to talk about two things. I'm going to talk to you about the two works of the Holy Spirit, or in fact, the anointing in the life of the believer. In this month, we're going through foundational things. So we have talked about, for those of you that have attended the Rhema studies, we've went back into the foundation, which a book that we're using is Understanding God. And we're going back to the foundation, because if we don't have foundation, we're going to miss some valuable nuggets that we need to go forward in ministry, in the things that God has ordained for you and I to actually flow in. And I'm going to say right now that everybody under the sound of my voice that have the Holy Spirit, you have been anointed for such a time as this. God has given you a mandate in your life. Whether you want to realize it or receive it, it's still upon your life. And you're going to be accountable to that, to living up to that, and to working in the purpose that God has given to you. And in order to do that, there are things that you're going to have to go through in order to set yourself in your purpose. And that means that God has conditioned us as believers to be conditioned for our purpose by setting us through the trials and tests of life to help mold and shape not only your character, but so that you can hear the Lord very clearly and that you can walk in the signs and wonders that God has displayed in the kingdom to destroy the works of the devil. If we don't understand about destroying the works of the devil in our own lives, how can we as believers destroy the works in other people's lives? For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so as I go over this today, I'm going to read some scriptures, but I want you to begin to pray in your spirit, man, about the purpose and the destiny and the power and the anointing that God has given you as a believer. This is what we need. This is what we need to have. In today's world, many of us, we come to the house of God, or we come before men, and what we try to do is we always want to receive. We want to be a receiver. We want God to heal us. We want God to deliver us. We want God to provide for us. We want God to do all of these things for us that are good, that will satisfy us, that will fulfill us. But very rarely does people come to minister to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do for you? And if we don't recognize that the blessings that we seek for are already ours and we don't have to ask for it, we can just thank God for it because it's part of the covenant that he's given us. And the second part of this is that you are empowered to set somebody free. That's what the church is for. We are supposed to grow up in God to the point that it doesn't matter about what this life brings us. We stand fast in the liberty that Christ has set us free. And not only stand fast in it, but demonstrate the power to set others free. And stop becoming very selfish with our own needs and become very, very tuned in with what God needs. See, God wants to reflect his heart to a people. A people that he has created in his image and his likeness. And that is every one of us. And when he saves us, he transforms us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. When you come into the kingdom of light, he wants you to come down and show your light to somebody in darkness that they may see him through you. And this is why it's necessary for us to come to the reality that you're not living this life just because of the fact that God, you were born here. You're living this life because God has called you in this life to help somebody else. Amen. Once we realize this, once we realize these foundational truths, then we can begin to walk in the liberty that Christ has set us free. And many people call freedom shouting and jumping, but that's not freedom. Freedom is to literally have a choice and choose God so that you can be free. Amen. And because of this, we've got to begin to analyze our own lives, judge our own selves, so that we can line up with God's righteousness and walk under an open heaven. Amen. So we're going to talk about the two works of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So I want you to turn, first of all, to Timothy chapter number 3. And I want you to just hear these words I'm saying, because I have several scriptures I want you to read that we're going to read. And I want you to hear them. How many know that God is doing a great work in your life? Okay. And therefore, let me just say this to you. And it comes to me first, and it goes out to you. God does not save you to be bored. Boredom comes from man and not from God. God is an exciting God. And the reason why many people are not excited about God is they never see the works of God. When you begin to see the works of God, you get excited about God. In order to see the works of God, you got to get into the fight. Victory is not won from the sidelines. Victory is not gained because you see somebody else victorious, because after a while that gets old when they get victorious and you're not. Victory comes when you are engaged in a fight, and when you win,
you literally get excited about it. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about God because of all that he has done for me. I'm excited about him. Yes, life is full of trouble. But if you're in war, that's expected. Life is full of challenges. If you're in war, that is expected. There are disappointments in life. And if you're in war, you should accept that. There are things that you're going to accomplish in life. And that should bring you joy. And there's some things that you're going to miss in life. And you should still rejoice because you had that opportunity. And because of the fact that we as believers have such a great salvation, we ought to be excited about God. When we were going over the things that God has given us in the unseen world, everybody in here should be excited about it. We come to Zion, who has an innumerable amount of angels that God has given us to do his work in the earth, to assist us. You ought to be excited about that. You are not alone. God is with you. And not only is he with you, he has given you his word. And his word is life to those that hear it and receive it. And if we can believe what God's word has said, then we can walk in a tremendous anointing that is going to take us to a place in God that many other people will not ever go. Because we have God in us. And we are carriers of his glory. All right. And Titus chapter number 3. And as you're reading this, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Okay. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime, notice what the scripture says, we ourselves were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hatred, hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Somebody ought to say amen. And so when you go back and you look at where you came from, you ought to thank God that you're not where you were. You ought to thank God that all of your sins of the past have been forgiven. Somebody say they've been forgiven. They have been forgiven. They no longer hang on you unless you summon them. If you summon them, they will hang around you. But the Bible declares this. All things have passed away. And behold, all things have become what? New. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things no longer bind you or hold you or keep you in captive. Jesus has set you free. And you ought to be excited about that. You ought to be excited about the fact that he has set you free. And notice the assurance of what the word says. For who the Son set free is free and what? And free indeed. Amen. St. John chapter 7. Because of the goodness of God, God has given us something that is revelatory. Not only is it revelatory, it is something that is very special if you recognize that you have it. And the recognition that you need to have is that you need to understand, first of all, you are the carriers of the glory, the kingdom is inside of you, and the word is available to you. And notice what it says in St. John chapter 7, verse number 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and saying, if any man thirst, let him come after me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, notice what he says, out of his belly shall flow what? rivers. It didn't just say river, but it says rivers. It means more than just more streams than you can imagine. Shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Right now, you got streams coming out of you. You ever read in the scripture in the book of Revelation, John said his voice sounds like many waters. That's because there's all kinds of streams that's coming out of him that touch every area of your life. And you're not saying nothing. It's streaming out of you. It's touching your life. It's moving. It's never stagnant. The word of God is always moving to bring about a change. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. If the word is moving in you, it's moving on the areas of your life that needs a word. And if you need a word in your life, the word is available for you to receive it. And then when you receive it and drink of the living water, out of your belly shall come the right word for the right season that goes to the right stream. And you shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, you need to understand what's happening. Because if you don't understand what's happening, then you don't understand what the enemy is trying to do to you. The enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and run. Destroy. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He wants to cut you off. He wants to deceive you. He wants to manipulate you. He wants to deceive you into thinking that God is not for you, but God is for you, and he's more than the world against you. Okay? And the enemy is trying to actually take the pill of death. And this is what the scripture says, Romans 8. Notice what it says. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritual minded is what? Life and what? Peace. Maybe the reason why people have not peace and don't have real life is because they have caught a hold to the carnal mind. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot what? So here's something that's confronting for all of us. If you're in the flesh, you're not pleasing God. But if you have faith, faith pleases God. Amen? So if you are living in a carnal state, you are not pleasing God. How many want to please God? If you please God, you don't have to worry about the blessings coming. They automatically are available to you. You don't have to worry about trying to pray and call heaven down to bless you. You're already blessed because you're walking in the blessings of Abraham. And you have the Holy Spirit inside of you that can call those things that be not as though they are. Why? Because you come from the invisible world into the seen world, and God manifests so that you can see his mighty power in your life and others can see it. Notice what it says. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, it so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the mighty burning power. You need the spirit of God dwelling in you. You need it. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then knowing what it says, you are none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. For if that Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken your what? Mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Now, if you take this and read this, I know that most of the applications talks about the fact that if the Spirit of God dwells in you, he'll quicken your mortal body. And we used to think that meant a quickening of the spirit. You know, you get like, you get a quickening. But it goes beyond that. It not only means a quickening in your mortal body, but it means that your sickness is healed. Because there's a spirit of God. The spirit of God is in you, and it not only it brings light to those dead areas in your life, and also in your body. So you ought to say, quicken me, Lord. You ought to say, quicken me, Lord. If you got a sickness, you ought to say, quicken me, Lord. Because that same spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwell in you is going to quicken your mortal body because he dwells inside of you. Somebody say amen. Turn to Acts chapter 10, 38. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and this applies to many of you today. Hallelujah. And many of you know it. How God, let's say it together, how God anointed, all right, hold on, let's start all over again. Let's say it together, let's say it loud, because if you declare it, it's already working on you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Somebody say hallelujah. God anointed you with the Holy Ghost and power, and he has told you to go about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and disease and those that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with you. Somebody say God is with me. Don't succumb to what the enemy is saying about you. Succumb to what God is saying about you. Somebody say hallelujah. God has called you anointed. God has empowered you with the Holy Ghost. You got power. Somebody said, I got power. And God has told you to take this power and go out and deliver those that are oppressed of the devil. Somebody say hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You have the Holy Ghost to be a witness. Somebody say, I got the Holy Ghost to be a witness. I'm not talking about a witness with a big Bible. I'm not talking about a witness knocking on doors. That might include that, but it's not that kind of witness. The witness is that when you speak kingdom. The witness is when you walk, you manifest kingdom. The witness is that when you talk, they will make the statement that never have we heard a man spoke like this. Never have we heard a woman speak like this. Where did you get that speech from? Where did you get that speech from? Where did you get that language from? I got it from where I came from, the kingdom. And what I say, it will happen. Because I got the kingdom backing me. I got the power of God backing me. Heaven is on my side. And it doesn't matter about what demon comes there my way. They have to back up because the kingdom is here now. The kingdom has come in power and in demonstration. You ought to say hallelujah. You ought to stir up the spirit of God that's inside of you. Because God is moving inside of you. He's trying to motivate you to move out from where you're at. You're never going to win a battle unless you engage in the battle. You're never going to conquer something in your life unless you go head on and you fight. Unless you become so mad at the enemy that you're willing to bite, you're willing to scratch, you're willing to slap, you're willing to beat up, you're willing to do whatever it takes to defeat the enemy in your life. See, some people are not ready for a fight because they're not ready to engage in a battle. But I'm going to tell you now, I'm prophesying to everybody under the sound of my voice and everybody that's in the stream that there is a battle that's about to take place in your life. And you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to be the man and woman that God made you to be so you can step out with power and authority and conquer what the enemy is trying to do in your life and in your family's life and your cousin's life and the people in your job life, because God is depending on you to be a conqueror. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. See, there's a lot of things that are going on in the realm of the spirit world, and most of us don't recognize it. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 27. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say stir it up inside of me. I want the Holy Ghost to be stirred up inside of me. I want the Holy Spirit to move upon me. You got to say this inside of yourself. You got to say it within your spirit, man. You have a newborn spirit that's after God, and God wants to use you. He wants to use you profoundly. Hallelujah. There are people dying every single day in hell. The Bible says has enlarged itself to await them at their coming. It stirs the dead up to welcome thee, because hell is ready to receive. But God has sent you to stop hell from enlarging. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. God has sent you with empowerment. See, what we ought to be doing is practicing how to move in the spirit. See, people say, well, you're supposed to bring people to church to get saved. No. No. They can get saved out on the street. You can bring them in so they can get learned. But they can get saved out on the street corner. God can fill them with the Holy Ghost in the bathroom. It doesn't matter about where they're at. God will save them wherever they are because of what you have done through God's word, through what God has given you. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Notice what it says in Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day. Somebody say that day is here. That day is right now. That his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Somebody said, the anointing, it will destroy the yoke. How many of everybody's in here is anointed by God? How many filled with the Holy Ghost? You're anointed by God. You got the Holy Ghost, you're anointed by God. Hallelujah. And what you need to understand is that you have the ability to destroy every yoke in your household, every yoke in your family, every yoke that's going on inside of your heart, everything that's going on inside of you, the yoke will destroy it. It's not an if, but it can be destroyed and will be destroyed. Somebody say it will be destroyed. If you don't recognize that you've got the power to destroy it, then you're going to have some problems. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Now let me just tell you something about these things. I read all these scriptures because of the fact that what I want you to understand is that God has empowered you, first of all, with an anointing to change your heart, and he has empowered you with an anointing to change somebody else's heart, to bring them deliverance so the word will change them. And what we have not learned is we have not learned how to use the anointing of the Holy Spirit to apply to us first. And the second thing is to use the anointing of the Holy Spirit to destroy the yokes on other people's backs. We have not learned that. And this is why we're having so many trouble. This is why when you come into the house of God and you're carrying a burden, it can't be destroyed because you have not changed. And the application of it is so simple. But walking in it might be hard. But it doesn't have to be hard if you make the choice to walk in it. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, what we just read, is the application of the internal anointing that is working inside of you. It's working right now. Somebody say, it's working right now. When a person gets saved, all their sins are forgiven. Say, my sins are forgiven. You're no longer bound by your past. This gone forever. The scripture says he throw those sins in the sea of forgiveness to remember no more because of what Jesus did on the cross. He shed his blood. His blood was applied to your life and cleansed you from our own filthy hearts and our own filthy past. It's gone. It cannot return. It's gone forever, and God will never bring it back up to you. It's gone. But the problem is that unless we change our minds, you're going to keep repeating the same thing because your mind hasn't changed. Turn to Romans chapter 12. When you get born again, you are a new creature. And the reason why you're a new creature is that your spirit man is now born again. He's brand new. Your body is subject to your soul. And your soul can be subject to your spirit. But in order for the soul to be subject to the newborn spirit, it has to line up with the spirit man that God has saved. It's got to be lined up. And so what we're talking about is a war, first of all, in your mind. That's where the battle is, and that's where the anointing is so that it can be destroyed. Okay? Notice what it says. Now, everybody gets saved, and there are things that we're delivered from right away, and there's things, there's a change. We used to sing a song, "There's a great change in me. My, I'm so happy, I'm so free. There is a great change in me." And the reason why there's a great change in you is because now you are free. You are not stranded. You are not chained. You are not locked up. You are free. And you are free to make choices. And the reason why, and hear me now, the reason why that many of us that are in the body of Christ have not recognized that we're free is because when we got saved, nobody told us we had to change our minds. They told us that we better line up with the law and walk by the law, or there will be a penalty for it. And because of that, what we walked in traditions of men that didn't work. And that's why people are still struggling with the same stuff. Now, let me tell you, but you've got an anointing. Somebody said, "I got an anointing." Romans, those words says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service." So, first of all, you got to offer yourself up to God as a sacrifice, which says that I'm going to make a choice, Lord, to put myself on the altar to be burnt. And if I put myself on the altar to be burnt, I'm expecting you to fire me up. I'm expecting you to change me. I make the choice to change. And what the scripture tells us is, verse 12 and 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your what? Your mind, or renewing of your soul, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Somebody ought to say amen. Now, the reason why God doesn't perfect your soul, you have to do it, is because in your soul that you have to make a choice. And God never will overrule your choice. If he overruled your choice, then you would be a robot. But he doesn't want to overrule your choice. So what he does is that, "I have renewed your spirit, man. You're born again. And all you have to do is submit to my word, and guess what? You'll change your mind." Okay, let me tell you how it works. And I've said this before. So go to Isaiah chapter 10 again. "It shall come to pass that in that day that the burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and the yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." That word anointing in the Hebrew actually means fatness. Anointing in the New Testament has to do with smearing or tagging or applying to. There's two different applications here. And that's why when we talk about the two works of the Holy Spirit, we first of all have got to talk about the fatness, which is internal, and then we have to talk about the smearing, which is external. That's where you get the dunamis at. That's where you get the power demonstrated at. That's where you get the power manifested at, is in the dunamis, in the smearing, because God has declared that you are anointed to destroy the yoke on people's lives that are bound up. But first of all, we've got to get straight. Right? And so there's an analogy here that he gives us. And he talks, first of all, about a yoke. And he talks about the yoke that is around the neck of an ox. And when we read this, when he says, and the burden shall take it away from off thy shoulder and the yoke from off thy neck. And what he's talking about here is a yoke of bondage on an ox. Okay? An ox usually does this. They either train the ox, or depending on if the training has already been done, they will yoke an ox up with another ox at the same pace. But the application that we're going to talk about quickly is the ox that is yoked up with the smaller one. And many of us don't really recognize this, that when you are in sin, you did whatever the enemy told you to do. You had no control over it. You did it, even if they told you not to do it, you snuck and did it. When the child comes out and get to a certain age, and you tell him not to get the cookies, he's going to see if you're looking. It's just a natural tendency for him to see if you're looking, because you told him not to, and he knows it, but he's still going to get it because that's his desire. So while you're turning and looking the other way, his little hand goes up and takes the cookie. I'm talking about a young age, 2 and 3 years old. They already know there's something inside of them that says, I don't think I should do this. Why? Because he's yoked. What is he yoked to? He's yoked to the ways of sin in the world. And the world has told him as he grows up, that you do it this way, or you get yourself, and you do for yourself. He's yoked up with the world and with the enemy. And here's the thing about the enemy. And during the Old Testament time, when they yoke an oxen up, the ox would pull that little thing that I forgot what they called it, and would tilt the ground up because seeds are going to be planted. And you know that at a young age, the enemy plants seeds. So when he yokes somebody up, what he does is that he pulls you to open up the ears of your life so he can pour the seeds in it that at one point in your life is going to grow and manifest. Y'all didn't hear that. He makes you plot out your own destruction. And he tells you to go, and he tells you to go, and he opens up. And why, when that opens up, he plants the seeds that he wants in your life. And this is why sometimes you get up and say, I don't know why I'm going through the same thing. It's because the fruit that what he has planted during the time that you were little has now become a plant. And now it has become greater, and now there's fruit from it. So when fruit comes, that's when others pick off of the tree and they begin to get poisoned by the fruit that you've been brought up in. Hurting people hurt others. Somebody say amen. But I'm so glad that when God saves you, there's an application that he puts in play here. And I'm so glad that if you can get the application, then it works every single time. The yoke will be destroyed in your life. It doesn't matter what the yoke is, it's going to be destroyed. Somebody say amen. I'm glad about that. Somebody else say, I'm glad about that. You've seen it work, but you didn't recognize, some of you didn't recognize how it worked. Because when you went to church, see, when people talk about, I don't need to go to church and all that kind of stuff like that, they really don't know what they're talking about. They really don't really recognize what the real issue is there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word. So the more I hear the word, the more I become a partaker of the word, and the more the word gets inside of my spirit. And what most people don't recognize is that yet young ox that is tied to that big ox that is literally dragging him and making him do what he's supposed to do, usually that ox has got to eat. See, everybody's got to eat. Don't you got to eat? Don't you have to eat? If you don't eat, you get what? Weak. And if you get weak, then you what? Eventually, you'll die. And so, what most people don't do is eat. They don't eat the word. They don't cover, they don't consume the word. And what they go on is prophetic words. They go on what people say. They go on what pastor says. They go on what this one says and what that one says. And they never eat the pure food of the word. And so because they don't eat the pure food of the word, then what happens? They get weak and they make these kinds of statements. I don't know what happened. Well, I can tell you what happened. The food that you were eating wasn't pure. It didn't have everything that you needed for the time that you needed. So therefore, that it didn't supply you what you need to get out of the situation that you needed in. And so the word, if you consume the word, this ox, he will go and he will begin to eat the grass. He will begin to eat the things that are in the plants that as he's treading along, he will just snatch some grass up and he will snatch some more grass up. Over time, that ox gets what? Bigger. His muscles get bigger. His neck gets bigger. The things in his life that at one time was hard for him gets easier. And at some point in time, the yoke that is around his neck is going to break. And when it breaks, he's free. And so what I'm trying to get you to understand is that the anointing that is inside of your life wants you to hear so that you can change your mind, so that you can eat the word, eat the word, eat the word, so you can get a manifestation of the word, so your mind can change, because once your mind is changed, you're free. Whatever it is that you're in bondage in your life, there's people that are bondage to secret sins. There are people that are in bondage to drugs. There's people that are literally going along their life and they are bound by these drugs. They're bound by situations. They're bound by circumstances. They're bound by lack. They're bound by all of these things and they don't know how to get out. And I'm trying to tell you that your freedom and the anointing that inside of you can break that thing in your life if you can just hear the word. Listen to the word. Hear the word. You might say, I don't understand the word. Just keep listening. Just keep hearing. Just keep it in your ear. Keep hearing. No matter what you hear, no matter if you understand or not, keep hearing the word. Because eventually, one day, it's going to break off your life. And the enemy wants you to give it up. Stop reading the word. It doesn't work. Let me tell you something. It does work. If God created the world, if God said, boom, stay in this place, if God told the seeds only come for so far, don't you know that he'll say that thing in your life too, that that word will work? Have you just said, the Bible talks about in the book of Acts, chapter 8:19, it said, and the word prevailed. The word prevailed. If you keep hearing the word eventually are going to prevail in your life. And the anointing will ensure that it will prevail. Why? Because the Bible says he watches over his word to make sure that it is what? It's performed. There are things that you are going through today. There are things that you want to happen. There are things that you want to change in your life. And the only way that you're going to change it is to hear the word. But you can't just be a hearer. You've got to be a doer too. You just can't just hear the word and not do anything about it. You got to be able to hear the word and walk in that word. You might not understand it, but you still need to walk in it. You might not understand what's going on, but you still need to walk in it. You might not understand why this brings a test or why it brings a trial, but you still need to hear the word and walk in the word until the word manifests. Think about this. It took 7 days. We don't know what those days are, the created. That God created the heavens and the earth. We don't know what those days are. There's no way to time those because God didn't put a time. Time did not come into existence until Adam sinned. So however he equated those numbers, we don't know. But what we do know is that God took his time to do what he needed to do. And God wants to take his time with you. Because in your mind, there are things that are resident, that are not just resident, but there's residue. You ever been in the bathroom and it looked like the soap is cleaned off, but then when you come a little closer and you put your hand on, you feel the residue. There is some residue in us that are still there. We might shout, you might jump, you might holler, you might scream, but there's still some residue. See, if you're in the image of God, God wants you to be just like him. Not only just like him, but he wants you to be just like him in word, also in deed. Okay? And so many people are bound today, especially in the church, by the mere fact their way of thinking is all messed up. Now, I know that all of us is a little off anyway. But God will take care of that. Amen. We all got something, you know, and I'll be the first one to say, I got a little here, something screwed, unscrewed over here. But God helps us. Amen. Amen. God help us. Because we have not got our glorified bodies yet. Amen. And we haven't got our totally renewed mind yet. But when we get it, we'll be all right. But we just have to go through here for a little time and deal with it. Amen. Somebody else say amen. You know you got somebody in your family that you think is like way out of there. And you got to just pray for them because you could have been that way too. Amen. But I want to get you to understand that God is working on us. That he's working on us. Amen? And those people that complain about it's not working, you have not walked in faith. If you say that God's word is not working on your behalf, then what you have done, you just canceled out what God is trying to do. You just canceled it out. I don't care what it looks like. You still ought to give God praise and glory and thank him for what he's doing right now. Don't let the enemy take your praise away. Don't let the enemy take your praise away for what God is giving you and doing in your life. Honor God in the small things and the greater things will come. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The things that God is trying to do in your life, you ought to thank God. I don't care if you're at a test and trial, then you say, Lord, I thank you for the test and trial. I thank you for getting me out, showing me the way. I thank you for the things that you're doing in my life because I know that there's a purpose of why I'm going through. All things work together for the what? For good. To them that are what? Called according to his what? His purpose. He loves you. And now, I can't tell you why God chose the methodology, but he just chose it. He chose to critique you and to curve you and to mold you and shape you in his image by engaging you in war. When you go to heaven, there should be some battle scars on you. There should be some scars on you. If you don't have any scars, then you won't make it. You got to get into the battle. Stop relying on everybody to get you out and get into your own prayer closet. It's all right to say, you know what, pray for me. It's all right to pray, but you begin to pray for yourself. When you get down, don't always call somebody and turn on the best preacher. Don't always turn this on. The Bible says, encourage yourself. Think about what he has done for you in the past. Think about the things that he's done for you yesterday. How he brought you out. How he healed your body. How you almost died and he brought you back. How you almost, the enemy almost consumed you. But God brought you out and freed you. You ought to give God glory for that. Never let the enemy take away your praise. I don't care if there's tears in your eyes. You ought to give God praise for every single thing that is going on in your life because he's worthy. Because it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. And one of the things that he tells us is to praise him and to worship him and to give him glory in spite of your situation. Don't let the idols of your circumstance come up and knock your praise out. Don't let the idols rise up. because of the fact that you don't have what you think you need and cut you off from what God has for you. You don't know when your breakthrough is going to come. You don't know when the miraculous may happen. You might get in your car one day and you might find a bunch of money in your car. You don't know. Don't put a limit on God. God can do anything but fail. You don't know. You don't know if you're going to meet your angels that can tell you that I'm getting ready to break through for you. You don't know. Don't limit yourself and don't limit God's word for anything that he can do for you. Don't limit your breakthrough. You might be struggling now, but maybe there's a purpose that's beyond what you think, because the God that I serve knows better than me. I know sometimes we're looking at it from our view, and that means that we're looking at it from this view. But God looks down from that view, this view, down view, up view. He looks at the beginning from the end, and he knows what it is that he's doing in your life. Trust God. Yeah, you're going to cry. I've cried many times, still crying. Amen? But guess what? God is still great. God is still faithful. God's word will still does do what he said it's going to do. You've got to renew your mind. Change your mindset. Stop thinking that everything is defeating you and begin to think that I am more than a conqueror through him that loved us. I am a conqueror. He loved me and he gave me power. He gave me anointing. And if I can just change my mind and eat the word and manifest the word, then guess what? A change will happen. It took 40 years to ascend to the throne. It took 40 years for Moses to go into the wilderness before the first manifestation of the burning bush happened. So I said, I ain't got 40 years. God knows your time. But this is just an analogy so you understand that God will bring deliverance when you set yourself to the flint. When you set yourself and say, I'm going to do it because God says I'm going to do it, because I choose to do it, because I love him. I have this love him more than life itself. You see, I'm persuaded that there's a lot of people that say they're believers. They're not in love with Jesus. I'm persuaded that there's a lot of people that's not in love with Jesus. Somebody say, why? Why are you persuaded that? How can you say that? Because the idols have sprung up in their heart, and everything that comes up in their heart becomes first before him. I know people, the first thing they do is run to the doctor without acknowledging the Lord. Not only going to the doctor, but the first thing they want to do is go to the doctor. Why don't you go to the chief physician before you go to the real physician? Why don't you say that my God is the ever-present help in the time of trouble? Some are ashamed because they're ashamed, and the enemy has got their mind bounded because of the fact they maybe came in and came out and they don't really know what God says about them. Let me tell you what God says about you. You're free. He still wants to save you, still wants to use you. God will never change his mind about what he says about you. You might change your mind about it, but what God has placed in his mind about you, God never changed. He still loves you. He still want to use you. He still want to bring you into his heart because he loves you so very much. Somebody said, how can someone love somebody like me? Then you have to ask your question. He loved you because he made you. You came from the very heart of God into this world. He thought about you before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. He thought about you and he knew you. He already had a conversation with you way before you got here. He's very familiar with your ups and downs. He already knows the dark days of your life. And he already knows the bright days of your life. He already knows the mountain days of your life. He also knows the valley days of your life. He already knew it before you even got here. He wrote it in a book. In Psalms 139, he writes the things in your book, your destiny, your purpose. He's already wrote it down. And when he opens the book up and he reads off your life, he's going to tell you the very time that you were down. And then he makes the choice. He says, you had a choice to choose my way or your way. Don't you want to choose his way?
See, when you change your mind like that, what you do is you set yourself in a place for the second part of the anointing that God has on your life. He calls you. See, everybody here is called. How many know you're called? How many are called? Everybody in here should be called. You ought to be called. Somebody say, I'm called. Say, I'm called. I'm called. And I always get, you know, a lot of people ask these questions, and I've asked those questions too. You know, what am I called to do? And there's some people that just sit back and just wait until they get a divine call from heaven. Like, kind of, come. It don't happen like that. Let me tell you something. It does never happen like that. So I look at the, you look at the prophets of Old Testament, and you and they get this divine voice. And yes, that's because the Spirit was outside, not inside. See, the Spirit came upon them in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Spirit lives within us. So we have the inner witness. So when God calls us, He calls us from the inner witness. But there's one part of the calling that God has upon every person's life in here, and there's a responsibility to that call. And it's called service. See, Elijah had to serve Elijah before he got the mantle. Somebody ought to say amen. Before Joshua got the mantle of Moses, he served Moses. See, and today most people don't want to serve. But service is the way to the call, to the final manifestation of what God has in your life. Yes, you can lay hands on the sick and they recover, because that's just the credential of the believer. Everybody in here can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. See, you got to say it out of your mouth. One thing that is, the kingdom is activated by your voice that hears the word. When the word hears it, it activates. You got to be confident in the fact that God has anointed you. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you shall cast out devils and they'll come out. But you got to have the confidence in the word. If you don't have confidence in the word, how can you serve? How many want change in your life? How many want change in your life? If you want the mantle of the Holy Ghost upon your life, that signs and wonders come, that the angels come because you command them to come, because God has given them for you. If you want to call heaven down, heaven will come because you're an anointed child of God, and they hear the voice of the word. They respond to the word. They don't respond just because you said so. They respond to the word because you're in line with the word. And these are the things that we that are believers need to understand. Power and demonstration comes because God wants you to be a tangible witness of who He is in the earth, because the kingdom has come. You're kingdom people. How many are kingdom people? Are you kingdom people? You need to change the atmosphere when you come into a place. When you come into a place, you shouldn't be normal. Something should change when you walk in, because there's something coming out of you, the kingdom. When you come into a place, there should be change that happen. And people should look at you and say, oh, wow, I don't know what it is about you. My wife told me a story last week. She went to Starbucks. And many of you know Starbucks is a good place. And she went in there to get a coffee, and she said the person behind the counter just looked at her looked at her really strange and said, I can't charge you for the coffee. And just kind of stood back and said, I can't charge you. I don't know why, I just can't charge you. See, the atmosphere should change when you walk in a place. Something should happen when you walk in a place. Something should be evident when you walk into place. Why? Because the glory of God invades you. It invades the atmosphere where you're at. It invades you. You should not allow any devil to invade your atmosphere of praise. You should not allow any enemy to invade the atmosphere of your worship. To allow the enemy to invade the atmosphere of your praise is a disservice to God. You should never, ever, I don't care what's going on in your life, never let the enemy invade your praise. Somebody said, well, they're not playing the right song. So what? Praise them anyhow.
He can't sing.
So what? Keep singing. Amen.
Amen. Everybody looking at me like, just keep singing. Jesus sung, hallelujah. The Bible said he sung in the midst of the brethren. God sings over you. Songs of what? Deliverance. That's how much you mean to God. God has a song just for you. You need to captivate that song that he sings over you. I will deliver you. I am your battle axe in the time of battle. I will make your enemies your footstool. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say God is a good God. See, the anointing that is inside of you, that if you change your mind and line your mind up with the word, the kingdom has to manifest through you. It cannot stop. It has to be manifested through you. And so when you go through the test and trial, endure the hardship like a good soldier. Endure what the enemy is doing to you because God allowed it. And when you come out, you'll come out victorious. And you need to understand is that here's the safeguard. God will never put more on you than you can bear. Matter of fact, it's a more insured because he said anytime the enemy wants to do something to you, he's got to go before God and ask for permission. Y'all know that? So the things that are coming to you, you got to rejoice in the Lord. And the Lord, I can handle that? The disciples got arrested and they got beat up. They got ridiculed. They got ripped. And when they came out, they said, they began to praise God and said, Lord, how wonderful this is that we got a beating for your name's sake. See, people don't say that nowadays. You're the beating for somebody. You know what you say? You got to rejoice and be glad that God has counted you worthy to go through the test that you're going through. To go through the pain that you're going through. To go through the ridicule that you're going through. To go through the things that you're going through. Because at the end of it, he will prevail. The word will prevail. Somebody say, it will prevail. Line your mind up with the word and the word will manifest. Line your mind up with what God is saying about you and it will manifest. It will manifest. The thing that is tormenting your body right now, you need to tell that thing because it is alive. It is alive and it can hear. You need to say, you will not torment me anymore in the name of Jesus. You got to declare it right now inside of your body, inside of your life. Whatever it is that is going on in your life and you're going in your body, going in your circumstances, I don't care if it's lack. Get that lack devil off of your finances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get that devil of sickness and disease off of your body. Cancel that generational curse that has been passed down from one generation to the next generation, to the next generation. Cancel that thing. That is a devil, that is a demonic assignment, and you need to praise God and say, Lord, I declare your word right now. I'm lining up to your word. I cancel it in the name of Jesus. See, you can't do that unless you have the word. You cannot declare that unless the word is inside of you and that you have faith in what you're saying. And I like what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, sometimes you got to keep saying it until your heart lines up with it. Sometimes you can say it out of our mouth and say it out of our mouth and nothing happens because we got this reasoning going on in our mind. But you got to keep saying it until your heart in your mouth lines up. Keep saying it until you believe it. Keep declaring it until there's a manifestation of it. Keep saying it until God delivers you. Keep saying it until the word in your heart prevails so you can see the manifestation of it. The word is nigh thee. And the Bible says, is nigh thee even in thy what? Mouth. The word of faith. Say it until it manifests. Declare it until it happens. Hallelujah, I don't care what mountains you got to climb. Keep climbing out there, take your rest, and take and stand still, see the salvation there, and keep pressing on. Because you is a press. Somebody, I got to press. Somebody say, I got to press. Somebody say, I got to press, I got to press, I got to press, I got to press, I got to press. I got to fight. You got to fight. Somebody say, I'm going to fight. The enemy's trying to take you out, but you got to fight. You got to fight man. You don't fight with flesh and blood. You don't fight just beating up on people. You fight in the realm of the spirit. How do you fight? You first of all, you fight with praise. Second of all, you fight with worship. And then you fight with the word. And then you declare the angels come and fight on your behalf. That's how you fight. You don't have to fight with your fist. You don't have to fight just always down and always person, you need to fight with the word. Tell that thing. It's in the atmosphere. It's in the unseen world. Speak to it. Declare it. Speak to it until it manifests. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Many of you have been around here long enough to know that there's manifestations of God. You've been around here to know that God speaks in the invisible.